You haven't been with us. We've been going through the book of Acts, and we've really been digging in on what we did is we took a break last week. We got to chapter 12, and what we're doing is we're doing some application components about what we've been learning about the Holy Spirit before we jump into 13 through the rest of the book. So if you weren't with us or you're not sure, yeah, do we got one left, two? We got a couple lessons up here. We want you to, if you want to go back and find out about the lesson, because what I'm going to be doing this morning is I'm going to be recapping some of the highlights from last week, but we're going to be digging in a little bit more about what we were talking about last week. But the lesson, if you go to mountainviewchapel.net, you can click on the latest, and there's a full lesson. All the lessons, all the written lessons are on there. If you want to go back, and if you don't want to listen, you can read and you can go through. It's all on there. So I want to ask you to just jump in with me this morning as we review, and then I want to make some application, because the whole point this morning, the whole point of the lesson is I'm asking us, let's keep it simple. Can we just get back to keeping it simple? So one of the things that I want to do is just recap very, very quickly some of the things that we were talking about last week. Just in a real quick synoptic form of what we were talking about the steep learning curve that most of us are on when it comes to the helper that Jesus talked about in the Gospel of John, the Holy Spirit. We need to be reminded, just like what we sang in that song, that very last song, that we are not alone. We are not alone, but here's the thing. We have to be intentional about our participation with the Helper, with the Holy Spirit. Our faith has to involve some action steps. And what we did is we talked about two things. And I want to just briefly go over those, because we talked about those two things. And I want to dig in a little bit deeper, because I only mentioned those last week because of the foundation we tried to lay. Yieldingness. And some would use the word yieldedness, but we talked about yieldingness as an important factor, a step faith of us understanding the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. We're either going to yield or submit to the flesh, sin, temptation, or we're going to yield or submit to the Holy Spirit, Jesus' ways. Now, we've got Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 18. We talked about this battle for yielding is nothing new, and it is a part of our growth and change process. Now, if you read down through the verses, they've got them up here. I want you to focus on verse 16 real quick as you're reading through, as we're putting the verses up there. It says in verse 16, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? In other words, say it like this, to whom you yield. Think about that. And then I'm going to jump down to verse 17. Thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching that we have given you. Or another way to say that is we can now wholeheartedly yield to the teaching of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Some of you, this consideration of the person of the Holy Spirit is a new venture for you. Some of you, you're a little scared. Don't be scared. This is a God family. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, working on our behalf. Jesus left and said, I am going to send him to continue my work. Ephesians chapter 5, we've got 15 through 21 in the ESV. As you read down through these verses, I want you to look at verse 18. It says very specifically, Paul said to the Ephesians, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And it goes on as you read these verses up here, what it talks about and what that means. Think about this. To what or whom are you yielding your life? Every one of us are yielding to something or someone. The second thing that we mentioned was sensitivity. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. We talked about spiritual sensitivity. I mentioned Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 16, but Hebrews chapter 3, verses 8 through 15 specifically, but I wanted to focus on verse 8. It says specifically, do not harden your hearts as when they provoke me. Us as human beings in our faith with God, allowing our hearts to harden seems to be a natural struggle that we all have. We have to be even more intentional to guard our hearts and maintain a spiritual sensitivity. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23 through 27 in NIV. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or left. Keep your foot from evil. In other words, the spiritual sensitivity comes because we learn to guard your heart, your mind, and your eyes to be able to live this life with spiritual sensitivity. I said this last week, I'm going to say it again, and it's not going to be the last time. We are striving to be a balanced church, a balanced family that is full of the Holy Spirit. We are all still human beings, every one of us here. We're human beings wrapped in flesh, living in a carnal world, but through the forgiveness made available through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior and Lord, we have the Holy Spirit as a seal, as a gift upon spiritual birth. This is where I want to really dig in. I had to lay that foundation for those of you that haven't been with us, but this is what I want to dig in a little bit about, this whole process of yieldingness. And I've been having conversations, I've been polling some people. So please understand, we can talk about yieldingness, but what I want to really ask you this morning to consider, why do we have such a difficult time yielding to God? Because see, I'm not interested in having some church conversation about, oh yeah, I yield to my God. Outside of this building, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, leading to next Sunday, why do we have such a difficult time yielding to God? So, first thing, first, very simple, control. You look up there. Some of you, some of us, I think to a certain degree we all have control issues, but some of you, you got some big time control issues. You would be labeled a control freak, and if I just annoyed you, just live in it. Some of you, You are so controlling that it's difficult for you to yield to God because you have to be in control. And I understand there's probably reasons for that. There's insecurities about that. There's all kinds of stuff going on. But one of the reasons that we seem to have a problem yielding to God is because we want to be in control. And what I mean by that is if you think about it, it's like, okay, we view God, like, okay, God has this plan for us, but my plan is rocking. And so somehow, and this is how the evil one works in our minds, that like if we yield control, then somehow we're going to lose something incredible and God's going to give us some second class replacement? That's some janked up thinking. But we all struggle with that. A lot of us have control issues. But where do the control issues come from? Second thing, trust. And I've been honest with you, Tim Duggins, I have trust issues. And so some of you, you have trust issues, and the only person that you basically trust is yourself, your plan, your ideas, and the way you do stuff. So think about this. We've got some of you in here have control issues. Well, when we come to trust, some of you also have, and I'm not saying it again, some of you got perfectionist issues. So you're a perfectionist, so you're not going to let anybody else do anything. You got to do everything yourself because nobody else is going to meet your standard. And whoa, if some of you got double dipping and control and perfectionist issues, whoa, you got it going on. Don't be looking at each other right now. Stay looking at me, okay? It'll help your marriage, okay? Just keep looking at me. Some of you are like, bruh. So I mean, think about this. We've got trust issues. It's difficult to yield to God if you don't really trust him. And here's the third thing. Why do we have trust issues and why do we have control issues? There's a lot of different reasons. But number three, now this word might throw you off at first. Time. Time. So Tim, that doesn't make any sense. I can get the whole control. I can get the whole trust thing, but what do you mean by time? Please hear my heart. This is one of the single biggest issues that most all of us struggle with day in and day out and week in and week out, is we don't make time to get to know God. See, here's the thing. We're not trying to press in and get you to be a part of a small group, a life group, a Bible study, because we're trying to indoctrinate anybody into whatever kind of creed we're trying to create. If you haven't figured it out, we don't have church membership here. We've got people in this church family that are still members of all different kinds of denominations. We're cool with that. Because what we're trying to do is create a family and a body. And you know, when you're here long enough, you kind of know who's in and who's committed and who's a part of this. The point that I'm trying to make is that what we are trying to do is get you to press in personally to your relationship with God and be intentional about carving out time for him, more time for him. Let me say it this way. We don't learn to enjoy his presence. P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. We must take time for the Word of God and dialogue. I'm going to use the word dialogue. Open your heart up, share your heart. Prayer, which promotes, think about this, it promotes this sense of yielding and spiritual sensitivity. Why do we struggle with maintaining spiritual sensitivity? Think about those three reasons that I mentioned, because all of us seem to have this battle going on. If we're not investing time, and I'm just going to tell you, some of you are like me. You need to begin to get to know God personally for who he really is, not this false presentation of God that has been presented to you, because that was my problem. My problem was the God that was presented to me by spiritual leaders and my particular church background. And then some of you, not only that vision that was presented to you, but then you've had church leaders and spiritual leaders. Some of you got some serious church hurt, and that church hurt is your perspective of God. I want to challenge you that you may have a false view of God. And so what we're trying to get you to do is carve out personal time with him, because the Holy Spirit, who was sent here and is the sealing of your salvation, the bottom line is, through the Word of God and opening your heart up, it's the Holy Spirit that wants to come alongside of you and reveal God's love to you and show you his plan and make it really personal. And then when we all come together, it just gets super ignited when we're together, because the Holy Spirit is revealing to us about the presence of God and what he has for us. Now, somebody came up to me after the last service and said, Tim, you didn't mention a big word that I think affects all three of these things. And I said, I grinned and I looked at him, because he's new in this path. And he said, you didn't say anything about fear. And I just grinned and I'm like, I'm so stinking proud of you that you brought that up. Maybe somebody else is sitting here going, man, fear's a big deal. And it affects all three. Absolutely, I'm not going to argue with that. But one of the things that I've found is that beautiful, maturing, perfecting love crushes the fear. You want to deal with fear in your life? You open yourself up to the presence of God. You get to know him for who he is, and his love, his grace, his mercy is going to fill you and transform you, and it's going to crush the fear. But listen, some of you right now, The decision you need to make if you want to move forward and experience things in the most simplistic, beautiful way is you need to carve out time. Because time with God is going to keep this spiritual sensitivity. And then what it's going to wind up doing is making incredible impact on your ability to yield to the person that you now trust because you know he loves you. Now, some of you have been wondering what the toolbox and stuff up here is for. I'm glad you asked. We live in such a complicated world, and what I'm asking you this morning is to work with me. Let's try to keep this thing simple. Now, I know we've got a lot of mechanics, so we're making eye contact. Give me some grace. Give me some room. Some of you, you're high-level mechanics. Cut me some slack this morning. I know this is not perfect. So this is what I did. I wore for all you Chevy guys. Boom. Anyway, this is my mechanics outfit this morning. And so I've got my tools up here. And I just want you to know, I want to say this publicly. I'm old school, okay? I loved growing up, what I did. Some of you young kids, you don't even know how complicated the world is because it's your normal. Well, I'm old enough to know that we've gone from more of a simplistic existence, and it was way more simple 50 years ago, 100 years ago, and everything is more complicated. I'm just telling you, for those of you that don't know, some of you young guys, you can ask your parents. I grew up when a distributor looked to me like a distributor, okay? It had a little turnkey on the bottom, had a shaft. On the top, there was this distributor casing, had a distributor cap on it, and when you open up and look inside, there was this little thing that did this as it turned around, and those are called the points. And you had a little condenser right next to it, and that hooked up to the coil, and then the coil. And one of the things that you could simple, if you knew that you had, maybe you need to replace your spark plugs, because it's a really, really simple thing. If you touched one of the wires and they need to be replaced, you'd be like, meh, okay, that's not going all the way to the spark plug. And so what I'm trying to say to you this morning is we're talking about keeping it simple. We're talking about keeping it simple. Like, there again, I just like to put my key in the door. I don't need the vehicle to talk to me. I don't need the vehicle to tell me what my favorite ice cream is or what my current weight is. I just want to be able to put my key in the door, get in the car, and take off. So we're talking about keeping it simple. So I'm going to use a simple illustration this morning that I hope will make the point. So because I'm talking about old school, look, the way you cracking me up, man. Thank you. We're good then. So this is what I love about our church family. So back in the day, an oil change is pretty much designed. I know that things have changed, so you got to take a cover off, you got all the little things. But realistically, changing oil should be pretty straightforward. Now, when I grew up, okay, so we've got the pan here, so you can do it one of two ways. But typically, and I'm just saying, some of us are old enough now that even when you used to change oil, you didn't have to necessarily catch the oil in a pan, because you could spread the oil out on the gravel driveway because it was illegal back then. Some of you are like, environmentally, like hazmat. But some of you are old enough to remember that even VDOT used to take the oil and put it back on the gravel roads to keep the dust down. So you didn't necessarily have to put it in the pan. If you had a really dusty driveway, you could just like open it up, like, there you go, we got some coverage. So this is typically for a GMC or Chevy. Those of you that know, 5/8, am I close? We're not talking metric. Don't be giving me metric eyeballs, okay? All right, this is old cool, SAE. All right, and then for a Ford, what does a Ford use? 3/4, thank you very much. Appreciate that, okay? And then what do you need for the oil filter? A filter wrench. Unless you're a big, busting, burly person, you go, I don't do that. Need an oil filter wrench. Realistically, changing the oil should be a simple process, but that's what I want to show you. What we have a tendency to do is we complicate things. Some of you this morning, please listen to me. Let's keep it simple. Hebrews chapter 11 says that faith, trust is what God responds to. Some of you are thinking, man, it can't be that simple. Yes! We overcomplicate things. So let me show you this. All right, I got this Snap-on toolbox. If Wyatt didn't get up here, I'll be having this for the highest bidder for anybody that's interested after the service. Now, if Wyatt gets it back before I can sell it, that's he's a good guy. But think about that we can, and some of you, instead of just having a wrench, some of you, this is your approach to your spiritual life or maybe your life in general. Instead of just having a couple of tools, you think, oh, I've got a better idea. This is how I'm going to change my oil. So you start, you undo the motor mounts, you take all the electronics off, you take all everything off, you disconnect it from the firing wall, and you take everything apart, and then all of a sudden you go get an engine hoist, and you pull the engine out, but in the process, you got to remember, you got to take the U-joints off the drive shaft, so you got to disconnect the transmission, so you pull it out, and then you just incredibly drop the oil pan. You don't put a new gasket on. You just drop the oil pan. You dump it out. You put it all back together. You figure out, okay, I'm going to drill a hole in the filter and I'm going to use a screwdriver and I'm going to undo it. Man, this is really going good. And then some of you, the way that you complicate your life even more is you think, I've got a better idea on how to change oil. So then you try to drill a hole in the side of the oil pan, and you're like, I'm going to tap something in there, and I'm going to put a hose on there, and I'm going to connect it somehow, but it's, I can't let it drag, and I can't let it get too hot, so I got to use a special thing. Oh, my word. But look at me. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because that's the way you live your life. And this is what cracks me up, is instead of just changing the oil and keeping things simple, we complicate our lives and we complicate this whole process of the presence of God. And then when the engine doesn't go back in because we missed something and it takes longer, so this should be a short-term process, theoretically, and then it takes us months, then who are we angry at? Are you tracking with me this morning? That's not my phone, is it? Okay, good. Tell them I said hello. Put them on speakerphone. That would be awesome. No, I'm just joking. So what I'm trying to say is that we... That might be mine. Okay. All right, let her ring. So that was my fault. I'm bad. That's my bad. So what I'm trying to say is, let's, brothers and sisters, let's keep it simple. Some of you have not yet made Jesus your Savior and Lord. Because inside you're like, it can't be that simple. It is. You simply believe and you open yourself up and say, "You, please forgive me. I believe." You don't have to understand everything. You don't have to get everything. And when it comes to yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit and just creating spiritual sensitivity, it's not as hard as we've made it to be. You don't have to go to college. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to go to university. You just have to open yourself up and press in. And it's as simple as saying, Holy Spirit, help me. Give me wisdom. And the reason I'm doing this morning, we as a church family, we can't overcomplicate this. Colossians chapter 3, right in the middle of all these amazing things he's saying, what does he say? Just what Jesus said. And remember, you have to put on love. His love, we need to love. You say, Tim, it can't be that simple. It is. It's not a simple path, but it's a simple response. Are you like me? Have you spent too much of your life making things harder than they need to be? Can we just fight to keep it simple? Know God personally. Make him known to others. Know God personally. Make him known to others. Brothers and sisters, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm asking you, by faith, to press into the simple things. Make time. learn to trust and yield control. Please hear my heart. Hear my words, but hear my heart at the same time. Wrap them together. God wants amazing things for each and every one of us. And if you don't think he does, you have believed a lie. He wants to rock our worlds with what he wants to do in and through us. His plan is best. It's amazing. It's excellent. So don't be scared. Let's keep it simple. As the worship team is coming up here, if you have something that you need to yield, something, I don't know what's going on. Maybe you have not believed yet. You have not decided to just the simple response like a child does to a dad. I believe that Jesus came and lived and died for me. Just believe this morning. Don't overcomplicate it. Keep it simple. Just respond in faith. And some of you, you've gotten hard. You've gotten cold. You've walked away. You've gotten overwhelmed. You've gotten hurt. Just repent and come back in. It's as simple as that. He loves you and he wants to be connected with you either for the first time or reconnected you, but it's based on your faith response. Can we just work as a church family? Let's keep this thing simple. Let's stand and worship together.